This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
B. Mitchell Finley, excited to get to the Rude Guest Hotline and talk to Jeffrey Chedea. Jeff, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining us again. Enjoy your work at NFL.com, sir.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me on. I always love being on with you guys.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate you, man.
So we've been kind of kicking around this thought of what NFL team has the most pressure on them this year. And you just wrote a column earlier in the week about one burning question for every team in the NFC. Is there an NFC team you think has the most pressure on them?
The most pressure. Wow. If I had to think about the NFC, I would think the Lions have to be in that boat. I'm just looking at the way they've evolved, the way last year went with them, with the all of injuries, the way that division has really blown up. I mean, now you know, obviously Minnesota had a great year. Green Bay is a contender, and now Chicago is looking pretty good. And then you look at the rest of the NFC. Nobody was talking about Washington at this time last year. So that's, it was a bit surprised. The Rams were supposed to be dead and buried, and now they've got their swagger back. And so I think Detroit, if you ask me, one team losing both coordinators and all the hype around them, like, there's a lot going on there. Like, they just can't go out to be good. They're trying to win a championship there.
You're right.
That is a team.
And they lost, both coordinators. That's a really interesting one that is going to be they got a lot going on there, kind of what's going to happen next in Detroit. I think the Niners, man, to kind of – bottom out is relative, but they had a bad year last year. And at some point, they're going to give Purdy the bag this offseason. And then all of a sudden, you got a lot more pressure.
Well, that's the thing. I thought about them real quickly, and I feel like their time is coming gone. And that really, I think the pressure for them is trying to figure out, okay, how do you move forward? And is the best path paying that quarterback crazy money? Because I think there's probably like five or six teams in the NFL where you can say, okay, you're paying your quarterback $55-60 million a year, and you should be okay with that, including the guy that you guys have in Washington now.
Right.
Everybody else, like, you're committing suicide. I think if you're in Jacksonville or you're in Miami right now, you're looking at what you're paying those guys, you can't feel good about building your roster. And I think as much as Jalen Hurts is in that category now, I think, one, he's justified it by making plays in big games, but they've been able to build a quality team around him that's not going to last forever. But if you're the Niners, there's no way you can sit here and say, if we go pay Brock Purdy all this money and we're going to be able to build a great team around him, that's a pretty risky proposition.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see them. They're not going to be a playoff team this year, regardless of how healthy they are.
Well, your article about the one burning question for every NFC team. When you come down to Washington, you discuss Terry McLaurin. What does that payday look like for McLaurin?
You know, I thought about that, because it's always tricky once guys get to 30, right? But, you know, he's been really productive. He obviously is a great leader, a big locker room guy. You have a young quarterback, and you have a receiver like that who you can count on, who's mature. I think that creates a lot of value. I think he probably should be in the same ballpark as what Davante Adams just got from the Rams. I mean, you're talking probably a 2-year deal that puts you in that, you know, probably $30 million a year category. You know, nothing that's super long term, but you know, that's the going rate for receivers. $30 million is a discount now.
Mm-hmm.
but you can't sit here and tell me that, you know, if you look at the guys who are getting that in that range right now, whether that's Brandon Ayuk or the kid down in Miami, I always forget his name, Jalen
Waddle.
His name down
Waddle.
Jalen Waddle. Yeah. Like those guys. Now, I'm going to write St. Brown's. St. Brown's been highly productive. But really, most of the guys that are moving into that realm are guys who, you know, either they've done the same thing Terry McLaurin's done, they're just younger. But I just think Terry McLaurin, with who he's playing with and where that team is right now and their salary cap situation, like, he needs to be, you know, they're going to make it happen some way or another. But I think he probably is going to be good with $30 million a year average for a couple of years.
Well, it's interesting, too, because Adam Peters kind of owned that. When we asked him about it at the combine, he was like, yeah, I'm not going to talk about that. And then at the league meeting, he's like, listen, we're going to make Terry a Commander for a long time. We've talked with his representatives. That's all I'll say. So they've clearly, even if it's just progress from like 0 to 3, they've clearly made some progress already in getting that deal done. And I look at DK Metcalf's deal and think you kind of just mirror that.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, yeah, you can definitely do that too. Yeah, I don't think there's anything, because again, there's nothing wrong with, he's younger than Devontae, and he's not nearly as high maintenance as, you know, even close to being as high maintenance as DK Metcalf. And so I just think it's an easy thing to do with a guy who is that much of a safe bet, yeah. You know, and you brought in Deebo Samuel and try to adjust his contract accordingly. So it's just, you know, you can't really get around it. They've got the money to do it. That's what I keep coming back to. They're sitting on a gold mine there with a, you know, a rookie quarterback, and even the money they spent in the off season, like, they've, you know, you can't always take care of the guys coming in. The guys who've been there through the tough years for you, you got to take care of them too.
Yeah, for sure.
Totally,
for sure.
Totally.
We're on the Rood guest hotline here talking with our friend Jeffrey Chedia. He is a columnist for NFL.com. Dude, so it's really interesting as we talk about Washington, kind of what they've built, and they certainly still have some questions, but the two big moves they made, Tunsil and Deebo, what do you think of both moves? Deebo, they moved some money over to guarantees, which actually helps their cap situation for next year. Tunsil, they haven't had to cross that deal yet to get him a new contract. I wonder when that's coming. But yeah, two really good proven players.
I like both those moves. Yeah, it will be interesting to see what the Tunsil deal looks like. But again, you know, they're in a safe space to be able to make that kind of move. And I love that you're securing spots that allow your quarterback to feel comfortable. And so your left tackle is a guy who's a Pro Bowl caliber player who still has some good years left. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen on his blind side now. You know, Deebo to me is the perfect kind of bring in there to pair with McLaurin, because, you know, he's kind of a bully type guy, run after catch, you know, can use him in a lot of gimmicky situations. And so Cliff Kingsbury can have some fun with him and think about the things you can do with him as a runner and a receiver with a quarterback as athletic and mobile as a Jaden Daniels. Like, that opens up some things in the run game. And so I love everything they're doing in Washington. And I think that there's a lot that, you know, Adam Peters deserves. You know, he's not getting the same kind of love that a Howie Roseman gets, or, you know, people that at that level, or that kind of experience level. But I think he's made a lot of really strong moves, including the guys he's brought back, like Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner as well. So their offense is going to be fun to watch. I think they did a lot of smart things to make it better.
I agree, man.
I agree with that.
When you zoom out from Washington to the rest of the NFC East, obviously Philly's still loaded. But beyond that, dude, What do you make of what the Giants have done this offseason?
I can't make anything of it. It's I can't think of a team in the last few years, and it's maybe Cleveland's right there with them. But I just don't know what they're doing. And I get that it's not a great year for draft quarterbacks, which, by the way, you should have known that was coming last year when there was a great year to draft quarterbacks and you're drafting top 10. And you could have went and gotten a guy who could be in place for you, J.J. McCarthy or Mike Nix, a Bo Nix. And so they missed a boat there. They spent too much time waiting on Daniel Jones to turn a corner. And I just, to me, I like Russ and I like Russell Wilson and I like Jameis Winston a lot as people, but they are past their best playing age. They are big personalities. There's a lot that comes with them. And I just think when you add that to the mix and you have a coach who's on the hot seat, a GM that's on the hot seat, to me, the only way this thing works is that they draft a quarterback who's got some real potential, some real prowess that people can be excited about. Because you can't do all this stuff that they're doing and then just sit there and say, okay, we're going to go whatever, 3-14 again. I mean, you have to start moving in a positive direction. And those two quarterbacks they got right there right now are not going to do that.
I totally agree, man. It was one thing to try Jameis. I don't know if you agree with this, but when I saw what the Giants did and you bring in Jameis, it's like, all right, I could see Daboll, who seems to feel very confident in himself, be like, listen, man, I can make it work with Jameis. Just give me him and we'll be able to win. And then it's almost like ownership or the GM's like, we need something else. And then they bring Russ in. It seemed disjointed with an organization that has seemed disjointed, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, it totally makes sense because, it's like what do you want your offense to be? You know, one, if I'm Malik Nabers, okay, how am I going to be utilized here? And it's almost as if I could see if they complimented each other in some way. If it was like, okay, if we can't do this, we'll do that. Like last year what Pittsburgh did, okay, you had the more athletic guy with Justin Fields and you had the proven veteran who was – slowed down, couldn't move as well, and Russell. Okay, if we're going to try to be more, we'll do more run game type things with Justin. He's not going to throw it as well, and if he can't throw it as well, we'll go to Russell, who can throw it better. We can get Pickens, another guy. I get that. Like, to me, it's just like you got two guys who hold the ball too long, who aren't athletic anymore. One guy was never athletic. They take a lot of sacks. Russell won't throw a lot of interceptions, but Jameis will. So I don't know where you improve if one can't get it done, And so that to me is what's flabbergasting. And then how does a young guy factor into all that? I just don't get it.
Yeah, it's weird up there.
Well, dude, what I think is, to me, perhaps the biggest indictment or at least illustration of what you get with Russell Wilson at this stage is the fact that Pittsburgh is happy to just sit around and wait on Rodgers rather than deal with Russ Wilson again. And I don't know what you're getting with Rodgers, not to mention all the off-field chaos.
Maybe some headache.
Yeah, but they're still we're going to chill. Russ, good luck, buddy. That says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, because Aaron Rodgers might just be like, I'm not doing that. I'm done. I'm done playing football. I'll leave you hanging. Now, I don't think Pittsburgh would go this far with it if that was on the table, a real possibility. But I totally agree. You spent a year with Russell Wilson. You've seen how he operates. You know what he brings to the table. And it may not be that great, but to convince yourself that, hey, I'd rather wait for somebody else, I'd rather wait for this, supermodel to walk into the bar and sit down and start talking to me as opposed to going home with the maybe the uglier girl who cooks a good casserole. Like, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah, it doesn't make a lot. But it makes sense in the sense of they did not feel like Russell Wilson could help them, which is an indictment on what the Giants did.
For sure. Yeah. As you kind of – what did you make of Matt Stafford and the ski trip to Montana with Brady and – you had Rap Sheet and Jordan Schultz yelling at each other at a coffee shop. That whole thing was just so wild. I think Stafford kind of played the whole thing like a fiddle, man.
Once he talked to Tom, you noticed they got that deal done, right?
Right.
Yeah. I think, he's a veteran too, right? He knows right. how to play the game, you know, and like, I think he knew that nobody was going to take him seriously, that he was going to go play for the Giants. But like, yeah, once you get on the ski slope with Tom Brady and that gets back to people in LA, it's going to change things in a hurry. I totally think that that's what Matt Stafford was looking for. And at this stage in his career, I think, you know, he's made a ton of money. He's living in LA. He's had a great life. I don't think that it was that big a deal, except maybe from an ego standpoint. But I think he obviously understood the importance of playing that game and getting what he wanted and making them be serious about him as a quarterback. I think that in a span of maybe, what, a couple weeks, that team went from being what's going to happen here to legitimate Super Bowl contenders. I mean, they almost beat the Eagles on the road in the snow, a couple plays away from that. Now you have Devontae Adams coming in replacing Cooper Kupp, and they're trying to figure out, you know, how to, you know, deal them with Tyron Williams to extend him, and they held on to their left tackle, Larry Jackson, and they've got that strong front seven. They're pretty close to being a very, very dangerous, team in this coming season.
Mm. It's interesting that NFC West, because the Niners were considered the big dog for so long. I imagine Vegas has the Rams installed as the favorites to win. And dude, I don't know what you got in Darnold in Seattle, but I like McDonald a lot. I think that team's gotten younger and better. I even think Arizona's much better. It's remarkable that San Fran is about to go into a year where Purdy's going to make a ton of cash. They lost a lot defensively. They're probably going to lose more over the next couple of years. And I'm really curious to see what happens out there in the Bay Area.
Well, you know, it's crazy because, you know, when I did that exercise and all the looming questions,
sure.
I tried to...
Sure, NFL.com column. People should check it out.
Exactly. A great time to pub it. I was trying to list the teams as they finished last year in the standings, and I really didn't understand, like, it just maybe blew my mind, like, I forgot the Niners were the worst team in the NFC West last year.
Yeah.
Like, I kept thinking, you know, Arizona was two games better than them, and it was obviously they had a ton of injuries and everything else, but they're in really tough shape. They got a good core, but how much longer can you say that about Trent Williams and George Kittle? And, you know, a lot of these guys are getting older. McCaffrey hardly played last year. And so how much can you count on that? And on the flip side, we were killing the Rams a couple of years ago for, okay, they went all in and won a championship. Like, how long are they going to be bad from, you know, moving forward? And it just shows you how important day two, day three drafting is, how important it is getting the right people and making the right moves, because, like, they're back in it because they drafted really well. Not because they got – obviously their star players played well, but – the Puka Nakuas, the Kyron Williams, the Byron Youngs, the you know, all these guys, the Verses, Jared Verse, like, all these guys are guys they went out and got in the draft.
Mm. For sure. Jeff, last one for me. We're 2 weeks out from the draft. You see any real fireworks at the top of that thing, or is it Cam Ward like everybody's expecting? And where do you see Shador going?
I think that's where the fireworks are, because now you're starting to get a sense of, you know, the view on him is all over the map. And you know, I don't try to get too caught up in all these mock drafts because everybody has one. But I think if he's not going in New Orleans at nine, then he's probably free falling, which would be really interesting. I think that he probably ends up in New Orleans. It seems as if everything I've heard and read, it sounds as if the Browns just aren't ready to really pull a trigger. And the Giants aren't as well. Maybe they thought Jackson Dart or someone else down the road they can get makes more sense. But yeah, I think that would be a big story, just because, you know, he's the most provocative name in the draft, right?
I mean, for sure. How much of Deion being his dad scares people?
Well, I've said this before, and I like Deion. I like Shador. There's something, I think, if you're a decision maker, taking a quarterback who's been coached by one man his entire life can't make me feel great. I'd like to have a little variety in there to see how he dealt with different situations. But Deion's coached him since he was every level of football. He's coached him.
Yeah.
And he does some things really well, but he's not very athletic. He holds the football a lot. And I think he's got to be in the right place. I don't think Deion's going to be in there trying to micromanage things. I think he's going to let him go play. But I think for a kid who's always had that buffer in place to not have it, no matter how confident you are, and all these guys are confident, if you start failing, it's going to be hard on you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's what I worry about.
All right.
Yeah, the Shador thing is really going to be interesting. I'm hoping for Washington's sake, for Adam Peters' sake, that somebody really does want Dart or Milrow and that they are looking to move up at 29 and Peters is able to recoup some
yeah. They,
you think that's realistic?
I think it's very realistic. I think there's going to be a lot of teams looking to find those guys either in the early second round or late first, and that's when it's going to be, you know, moves made.
Right.
But I think a lot depends on how far Shador falls.
Yeah, it's going to be something worth watching for sure on Thursday night of the NFL draft. Jeff, thanks so much
for your time, man.
Really appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Always fun.
All right. Take care, man.
Everybody give him a follow at Jeffrey Chadia. It's JeffreyChadiha. Good stuff. Good football conversation right there. Now, if you're looking for more good stuff, you should check out the great people at Door Pro America. I can't tell you how many times I've pulled out of my driveway and been like, oh, man, did I leave the garage door open? Because I'm an idiot. That's why. But with the LiftMaster garage door opener and the MyQ app installed by the pros from Door Pro America, I don't have to stress anymore because I have the app. I can just check if the garage door is open or closed, and then I can just turn it off. Also, this is very helpful for me. There's a setting that if it's been open for a half hour, an hour, 2 hours, whatever you want to set it at, it'll just close automatically, man. That stuff makes a huge difference to MyQ technology. Or say you got a nice garage door, you just need some maintenance or repairs done. Hit up my boys at Door Pro America. These guys are experts. They gave us a ton of options. We figured out the right door for our house. It's made our house look way better, increased our curb appeal. If you're ever selling a house, if you're looking to sell your house and you don't redo the garage door before you do it, you're leaving a ton of cash on the ground there because that's an easy fix that these guys can get done in a couple of hours and it'll increase the value of your home. Call them today. You could save $60 on repairs or $150 on a new garage door. Call 877-DOOR-PRO. That's 877-DOOR-PRO. Tell them JP Finley sent you or check them out at doorproamerica.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
B-Bitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is the Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. Scotty's is Maryland-made, amazingly smooth, and loved throughout the DMV. Make sure you are checking out the stream as well. We are live on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. Last comment I saw is Kernell Davis And appears there's a debate about, I don't know, the last couple comments are, I got 10 cents on White Brian, and then Lacrovius says, I got 25 cents on Landfill refusing to participate. I don't know what the topic is, but I think that's a good bet.
The chat wants me and Landfill to arm wrestle.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
I think you'd win, Landini.
Right, Brian, you'll beat him. That's why he's scared. He's scared to go.
Why does the chat want you two to arm wrestle?
I am not sure.
The chat is its own weird entity, man.
It is.
Like, they got a lot going on. Has Commander Tequila moved to California yet, White Brian?
He left.
He was complaining about highways, so I assume he's still driving.
He was driving to California.
Complaining about driveways on the chat?
Highways, yeah.
So he's driving and listening and typing?
Seems like it.
Here you go, Brian. You ready for these comments from Comandante Tequila? I'm just going to read it verbatim, spelling in context, okay? Why in we pay taxes on repairs of highways when there is huge fish bowls and whales bowls on the highway?
Wait. You mean potholes?
He followed that up with, why in hell we pay road taxes? I don't know, dog. I am not a taxologist. Huge fish bowls and whale bowls on the highway. I don't know what that means.
Potholes, bro.
What do you call it when a road has like grooves in it? You ever seen that? Rockville Pike has it sometimes. Like,
you mean grooves?
Like, it's so run down where the cars roll that there's like grooves for the wheels.
Oh, where the wheels used to be?
Just like there's so much traffic on it.
Yeah.
Do you know what that's called?
No.
Maybe that's a whale's hole.
It's worn out, I guess.
So
it's like the cars that regularly go in that area, that's where the grooves are.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know what they call it, though.
I also don't know what you call it. Jim Sleazy just wrote, why does White Brian always sound like he's dying inside? White Brian, care to answer?
The New York Giants just signed Russell Wilson.
Dude, seriously, for you on a personal level, how awful is that? That dude is so annoying.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to just watching him play football or press conference. I don't want him on anywhere near the Giants.
Who, if you had to pick, this is similar to yesterday's bacon or ice cream debate, would you want Russ Wilson or Aaron Rodgers?
Ooh.
That's tough.
I think Aaron Rodgers, because at least it would be a little bit funny. Russell Wilson's just not funny at all.
I think Rodgers at this stage is a little better as a player than Russ. I think Rodgers is probably the most insufferable character in the NFL. Maybe there's somebody else that I'm blanking. Maybe like Tyreek Hill, who seems pretty insufferable. But at least Tyreek Hill's still excellent at what he does on the field.
Damn good at it.
But I don't know that Rodgers' insufferability would drive me more crazy than the insincerity you see from Russ Wilson game after game and week after week and all that stuff.
But Rodgers is insensible too. I mean, he's not sincere.
True.
And Rodgers cares about Rodgers.
For sure.
You know, Russ, I know Russ is going to give me these pre-planned answers and press conferences. Rodgers, I don't know where he's going to come from, depending on the day.
Dude, I meant to send this to the text thread. I don't know the how or why, but two of my best friends from college, I think you've met Berger, B. Mitch, my boy Neil Berger and my boy Matt Albers, and we're also all just total golf nerds, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we have a text thread, and my boy Albers Wednesday night texted a picture from of Darius Rucker, Hootie and the Blowfish,
Okay. Wearing
a Giants jersey. And
he must have lost a bet.
Because I thought he was a Dolphins fan. I thought he was like famously a Dolphins fan.
I thought he was a Redskins fan at the time.
But A bunch of guys in the band are Skins fans.
Okay,
the guys in the band are from Montgomery County.
He was here with all his stuff on one time, so I thought he was too.
The Giants rolled out the Darius Rucker collection, and my boy wrote, Joe Shane, this is hypothetical, this is not real, but he said, Joe Shane, and then in quotes, shouldn't we focus on the draft? Nah, man, we got to launch this hoodie merch. Did you notice the Darius Rucker themed merchandise the Giants rolled out, White Brian?
I did not, probably because I don't want to see anything they do anymore.
You should just stop being a fan.
Why don't you just start being a Skins fan?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to look at nothing they do and like nothing they do, why be a fan of the team?
Well, I'm going to watch their games, but everything else that goes on, I want nothing to do with.
Jeff, as a hardcore Burgundy and Gold fan, would you welcome White Brian to the team?
Not really, just because he's a Giants fan. But I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't feel his pain.
I don't feel his pain.
We ain't looking back.
I was about to say, but we
don't look back in anger.
We was just there, so I get it, B-Hawk.
But you never have said you're not paying attention to the team. He doesn't want to pay attention to nothing that goes on with them. If that's the case, don't cheer for him. Leave him alone.
I think, check, please. I'm out.
Man.
You live here.
All
this
Washington
team
fans
is,
went through that, so I can't even fake on them.
Okay. I have never heard a Washington fan say they're not paying attention to anything.
Because they're not going to say that to you,
There's
B.
a difference, Jeff.
They can say it to me. I'm just saying they don't say that.
When Washington fans see you, they are in awe.
Jeff, let's say the year is 2019. And then at that point, the Redskins stink. You know that Gruden got fired. Bill Callahan's coaching. And let's just say you live, you grew up here, but your job has taken you to Tampa. And you can be a Bucs fan. F it. Be a Bucs fan. That's why Brian's life position right now. He grew up a Giants fan. The Giants are in, honestly, trouble that doesn't really seem to have. I don't see a light at the end of that tunnel. And he lives here. Rose is from here. His life is going to be here. Like, if you have children someday, White Brian.
He's from Philadelphia, though.
Yeah, but he's from Jersey and Philly. I don't know where the hell he's from. He doesn't know where he's from.
215 Philly.
Embrace right? Your hometown, your new hometown.
I can't switch.
Is Rose a huge Burgundy and Gold fan?
No.
What about her parents?
No, they're Caps fans, but that's about it.
So, JP.
Jeff.
If this was 2019, Commanders stink, you got picked up on a beat for the Dallas Cowboys, would you change your team?
It's very different when you're a reporter. I mean, if you watched my reporting over the years, I'm pretty damn unbiased. The Skins didn't get much preferential treatment from me.
I'm not talking about professionalism aside. This is the team you're rooting for. Your hometown is now Dallas. Would you ever make that switch?
Like what I encourage my kids to root for or something?
Yeah, like would you ever, as a Redskins fan, and we were in our worst of years, and you got moved, because that was the logic you basically just gave us with White Bryant. Would you have done that with the Cowboys?
If I were to be saying I'm not paying attention to nothing this team do, I don't want to deal with nothing they're doing, I would find me a new team.
Yeah, that's fair.
If I said that, but most people around here, they love the team. They hate the fact that they were bad, but they still love the team. White Bryant has basically, he's taking a day off on the team. Well, the year off on the team.
It's not like I'm completely not paying attention. I'm just not seeking out Giants news because it makes me sad.
Okay, so we're going to bring you everything bad every day from now on.
That's
our new bit.
We could thrive in that role. Let's schedule Giants nugget of the day, 11:45.
Every day.
I think that's quite entertaining. I also think this is going to be quite entertaining. I don't know the how or why this segment exists, but for the first time ever, when we return, everybody gets to find out the players that Jeff Walker hates most. Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I'm going to be honest. So every day, the show's on 4 hours a day. There's 3 segments per hour. I believe that means there's 12 segments a day. Coming into the show, I bet I am aware or can guess 10 of the 12, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Some days it's all of them. Some days, maybe it's a couple fewer. But generally, rarely am I surprised by a segment or intrigued. I don't know how or why we landed at 12:45 with Jeff Walker's most hated players, but here we are. Before we get to Jeff, Landfill, how did we get here? How did we get here?
I don't know whose idea it was, but somebody had it a couple months ago, and I wrote it down on a list somewhere, and here we go.
Here we are. All right, Jeff, who do you hate?
First guy, rest in peace, his soul.
We're hating dead people now?
Yo, I'm sorry. I used to hate Eddie Guerrero in wrestling.
What?
Because I was such a competitor. Anybody who cheated, I just thought they were the scum of the earth. And then he would come out, I lie, I cheat, I steal. And I'd just be looking at him like, yeah.
Landfill, the Who Jeff Walker Hates segment is off to a really poor start.
My next guy, Draymond Green. Like, Draymond is...
Hold on. This dude's song was I Lie, I Cheat, I
Steal?
Yes,
that's why I said it. Yes, he used to tick me off.
Okay. I didn't know much about Eddie Guerrero.
I'm not being mad at the Rocky statue.
And then, who else? Like I said, Draymond Green, his antics just really ticked me off. Him and Rudy Gobert.
I get that. That's two hateable ass dudes.
Yeah.
Do you like them or hate them, B?
Who?
Gobert and Draymond?
I like Draymond.
I can see you liking Draymond because he backs it up.
He backs it up. I mean, no. If he's on your team, you love him. If he's on another team, hell, I was that guy. They hated me because I was on another team. I'm on their team, you like him.
Another guy. Dylan Brooks. That is...
Oh, yeah, he's a joke.
That is... The level of hate for Dylan Brooks is unhealthy for me. He's not even a rival of any team that I like. It's just him alone. Like, I just don't like the antics he have on the court. It's like, it makes me really want... Like, if I see Dylan Brooks in, like, Gold's Gym or something...
He's Canadian.
We might have
to
fight.
He gotta act that way sometimes to just, you know...
Yeah, we really might...
He does get under LeBron's skin, though.
And who was my last player? I had Rudy. Oh, this dude I hated, too. It's back to wrestling. I hated Kurt Angle. I used to be one of them people that when I was a kid and he was coming out, I would be in front of my TV. You suck! Because I hate... Oh, man, I used to hate this theme song right here. And he come out in that jumper, that little American jumper, man. Oh, I hated Kurt Angle. I hated him. And honorable mention, Jerry Bradshaw Layfield. Yo, JBL from WWF. I don't know why I hated them three guys so bad and those three basketball players, but those are my most hated athletes.
Okay.
Like, and when I mean most hated, like, I know for a fact I will argue with these guys and tensions will rise if we were competing against each other. But I know I will never compete against these guys.
If you saw a wrestler, Guerrero, you said his past. I didn't know the other guys you mentioned, right?
Yeah. You don't know Kurt Angle or Jerry Bradshaw Layfield?
Oh, I know Kurt Angle.
I know Kurt Angle. I don't know the other one.
Who is it? Jerry Seinfeld?
Jerry Bradshaw Layfield.
John Bradshaw Layfield.
John, yeah, that's his name. John.
Jerry Seinfeld Layfield.
Yeah, whatever his name is, I hate him.
If you saw that dude on the street, you'd approach him?
If we had a prop, if see, they do that, and with the wrestlers, it's just that they do their job so well. They're actors.
Yeah.
So they do their job so well.
Like
I'll forget that this wasn't TV. I'd be like, yo, John, I'm pissed off the way you did that. Or, yo, Eddie, you cheated. I don't like that. Let's go. Draymond, I just got to play jail ball with him.
I want to be clear. There's no wrestlers on my list.
Not on mine, neither.
Most of my list would be at various times in my life. The athletes I hated the most would be Duke basketball players.
Oh,
that was like the peak of J.J. Redick.
I forgot.
The little Richard dork Sherman. That was tripping everybody. Richard Sherman?
Yeah, I was a Trent
when
Williams
Trent
fan. I was about to say,
him.
I was so hard of a diehard Redskins fan. And then when I seen Trent punch him in the face, I said, oh, yeah, I hate you too. I never even played with him on Madden or anything. And every time he come up, I just see the picture of the motion picture of Trent just like, you said you was going to hit me, do it then. Boom! And I was like, yeah, Trent, because he talked too much. Sherman talked too much.
I have come to like Sherman a lot just because I interviewed him, and he's been real cool on Thursday Night Football when I've interacted with him.
Hell too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's smart. I just don't like him as a competitor.
J.J. Redick.
I wouldn't. Based on Jeff, based on your personality, the way you do, I would have never thought you had three wrestlers on your thing.
I think Jeff clearly used to be really into wrestling.
Yeah, I would have never thought it, bro.
Yo, I'm telling you, when I found out wrestling was fake, I was really heartbroken. Like, yeah, I don't understand. That was a thing.
But
you never thought
that you get hit in the head with a chair. And you're bleeding one day, and tomorrow you don't have an actual cut.
See, the thing is,
that was like wrong.
We were them kids that, you know, when they said don't try this at home, we tried it at home.
Okay, did you ever hit somebody in the head with that steel chair?
I've been hit in the head with the.
Did you just show up the next day and was ready to go again?
I'm not shocked. Jeff's been hit in the head with a steel chair.
I think the chair is in the head more than one time.
It didn't bruise my head or anything.
If they hit you with it hard, it would bruise you.
But then again, I was a kid. And then I thought it was real. I got my tooth kicked out when I was younger. So like, wrestling was real to me. Like it was really ingrained in me, and I really like. Before I found out,
I knew it was fake since Harley Race and Jimmy Superfly Snooker and Junkyard Dog and all. I knew it was then.
B.
Because Junkyard Dog dated my sister's friend.
Being a big
my sister's friend twin sister.
Being a big dude in most of my classes and reenacting wrestling and getting to choke slam my fellow classmates, and they would get up and everything was back to regular. It was just something that I just really indulged in. And
I really liked wrestling as a kid. Now that was kind of Hulk Hogan, Bret the Hitman, Hart era, like Macho Man. I don't even know that. Maybe they just did a better job of having like straight heels back then, or maybe I just don't remember as well. But like
today it's like social media basically.
It's like good and bad, right?
Yeah, it's like good and bad, and then they go overboard with some of their little antics. That it's like, it's annoying.
And I guess when I was in high school.
Yeah,
and
people then, outside the ring are the worst. The ones that supposed to be their managers. So
those dudes I probably hated.
They're
like the dude, what was his name? The Mouth of the South. Not Fred Spoot, but the wrestling dude. Jimmy,
I know who you're talking about.
He had the little mustache. That dude was annoying. I remember when Hulk Hogan found this dude in the crowd, Tugboat, and he was his boy, and then he turned on him and became Earthquake, I think. I think I hated that dude. But even in, like, the Attitude era, when it was, like, The Rock and Stone Cold, I guess everybody hated Vince McMahon, right?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't like The Sun and the Greenwich Street Posse or whatever those dorks were called.
Because The Sun did not even look like
Seth,
he fit.
What's his name?
The Sun looked like he was... The daughter was more masculine.
Shane O'Mac? You didn't like Shane O'Mac?
What wasn't the daughter came in looking like she fit better than the son. The son was like the little
Stephanie.
Dork that was in the family.
She's real life married to Triple H.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying the son was just a little dork.
Oh, yeah. Now, when I mean wrestling was my thing, I'm talking about second grade. I'm going in there, the Generation X. I won a game, and I stood up. Gave him the symbol, and then my teacher said, "I'm calling your mom."
Landfill has turned to the teacher. Shocking amount of wrestling drops ready.
And gave it to the teacher.
Landfill used to work with somebody who was a wrestling dork too.
I did hate Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase back in the day. I don't like the way he treated Virgil. Also, Macho Man with Miss Elizabeth. That whole vibe was a little odd. For me, a huge one that I think I have evolved as a human, and I think Ovi getting a cup and breaking a record, I used to hate Sidney Crosby. Hate him.
Yeah.
I feel a little differently now.
Yeah. But I didn't know it was going to turn into so much wrestling conversation.
That was a wild
ride. I'm going to tell you. So I was growing up in Louisiana. I was here with the Redskins at the time. I went back home, and I happened to be watching TV. And remember the Kamala Jeff? The Ugandan giant, they called him. And they had this little clip going, the Kamala, the Ugandan giant. he goes back into to his country in the jungle. And I saw a COBR bus pass by, City of Baton Rouge.
He was in the jungle?
He was off of Plank Road walking through this field, but they came because they had at the Centroplex, it was a big wrestling match. And they claim he was going back to the jungle in Africa. And he was, I say, this is still crap.
Yeah, that's tough. Now, this is the best lead-in ever to ask Beamish anything. You can ask Brian anything you want anything for the next hour. 800-636-1067. Phone lines are open.
Well, if you're wondering what I'm doing this weekend, I'm going to be at the Muni, and you need to come out there and hang out with me from 1 to 5. It'll be this Sunday. I'll be hanging out. The Muni is an interactive golf-themed bar with golf simulators, button greens, interactive darts, and more. You have drink specials, contests, games, and more. So come out this Sunday from 1 to 5 at the Muni on 1400 14th Street, Northwest.